Hello, welcome to another episode of The Inside Kids with me, your host, Ricky Castagnetto. Today, we're going to be sitting down with Joe Arredondo from the School of Art. He is the director of the Landmark Arts, the galleries on campus. And we're going to be talking about First Friday today. All right. So what can you tell me about the history of the First Friday Art Trail?
Well, I was there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was so exciting. I had been here for a few years. And Abilene was having this like monthly art walk. Mm-hmm. And everybody was really excited about that. And so I think the founders, the real active founders were Catherine Oler, who was director of the Regional Arts Center of Lubbock, which is now LUCA. Mm-hmm. And then Jane Bell, who was the International Programs Coordinator at the ICC, and Tina Fuentes, who was on our faculty.
Oh, wow.
And they invited me because I was new and, you know, the art guy. And so I think there was just four of us. There might have been another person from the community at that time, but it was a brainstorming event. And they were talking about having this art walk. And I just burst out laughing. I said, I don't think you can walk anywhere in Lubbock. I think we should call it the Art Trail. And so I think I named it the Art Trail.
Wow. Because we're sitting so here with the man who named the First Friday Art Trail.
I have really bad memories. I would strongly suggest checking with Jane Bell and Tina Fuentes for the truth of this. But I recall laughing at how absurd it was that we were calling something impossible an art walk in Lubbock. And I said, let's just call it a trail since we're talking about going from venue to venue to venue. And so I think it was maybe for the first year, it was quarterly. Every 3 months.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And it's just like people would forget about it. You know, 3 months later, it's like, oh, we forgot that happened. And mm-hmm. So that's when Catherine Oler took the reins of the project. And LUCA became the center of the operation because mm-hmm. they said, we're going to make this a monthly activity and we're going to hire the buses and we're going to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really got going once the, it was called the Lubbock Regional Arts Center at that time. And of course, LUCA is now like the center of all activity, then along with CASP, Charles mm-hmm. Adams Studio Project. And so it was great when they did that. And we participated, even though we were remote at, you know, Landmark Arts over at Texas Tech is a remote situation. We participated for the first few years and then it just was too difficult to get buses and people would get lost or stranded. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody figured out, let's just keep the buses local. People will still go wherever they want to go in their cars. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the LUCA CASP campus became the hub. And then there would be this connection between LUCA CASP and the Buddy Holly Center. Oh yeah, we probably had someone from the Buddy Holly Center there, whoever was director at that time. And I don't remember her name, but we probably had her at that meeting. Gibson, Debbie Gibson, maybe, I don't know. I would consult with people with better memories. And so anyway, so it was really exciting and it just took off after that. People really got into it. Mm-hmm. You know, Charles kept adding more stuff going on the perimeter. And then other venues ended up setting up between Buddy Holly and then LUCA CASP and setting up small venues became very easy for people literally to walk up and down that downtown stretch, mm-hmm. which you see them doing all the time these days. At some point, let's see, when did this happen? I wonder if the Regional Arts Center, because I know Elizabeth Regner got involved at some point in creating the cultural district. Mm-hmm. And it was very important that all of these institutions that were participating in the art trail become part of the cultural district designation that Lubbock ended up getting through the Texas Commission on the Arts. And so she would be a good person to consult as well. She knows all that history really, really well. So that's what I know about the origins. What year was it? I don't know. I had been here a few years. I arrived in 03 and had been here for a few years before that got going. Maybe 05. Hmm. Isn't Luca claiming the 20th anniversary? What are they claiming right now? 25th?
One of those. I'm not quite sure myself.
Well, whatever it is, it was probably started then. That's mm-hmm. my guess.
It's crazy to think that it didn't take off because it's so popular now, like to think that it was even every 3 months and people would forget about it. It's not forgotten at all.
People look forward to it now.
I would plan my weekend around that sort of thing. With my friends, like, right. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're going to the art trail. It's the first Friday of the month.
Going to
that
the
would
art,
be like
we're going
our
to the
excursion.
Art trail circus fair. We're going to the art trail circus fair.
We're going for the food trucks, and the art is just a plus.
That's correct.
So you mentioned Luca and Cass. Can you tell me a little bit about those organizations, what they do, and how the School of Art is involved with them?
The Regional Arts Center, which became the Louise Hawkins Underwood Center for the Arts, has always focused on regional art. And so their mission from the very get-go was to show the art of regional artists. And so we collaborated with them as often as we could because our focus was student art and then state, national, international art, mm-hmm. if we could afford to bring international art in. And so we were complementing each other and sort of both serving the community in our own respective ways. CASP came later after Charles moved into the area, and his mission, and it's still the CASP mission, is to support artists who live in the community and need facilities to make art. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the first thing he built was the Live Work Studios, where artists could get, you know, a residency to live in those little spaces and have big space to make art, small space to live in. And then since then, he's created the Work Studios, which are in the back of the 5&J building. And all of it's oriented toward, making facilities, spaces available for artists to continue working in the community, and then simultaneously every first Friday, just open up those garage doors mm-hmm. and sell their art to whoever's coming by. So, you know, CASP has the foundry and helps sculptors. They've got that print shop. And I think, let's see, the print shop is supported by the Helen Jones Foundation and the foundry supported by the CH Foundation. And so it's like these community foundations are supporting the local artists to continue creating art, even after they live their academic setting where they have access to equipment. Charles mm-hmm. is providing state-of-the-art equipment for artists to continue working. The welding studio is part of it. We got involved because we, School of Art, wanted to have a presence downtown where we knew there were a lot of people coming and going. Mm-hmm. So Charles said, I've got this little tiny space at 5&J if y'all want to lease that. And so we got on board pretty early for our satellite gallery. Mm-hmm. And it's a threefold mission. We support the creative research of the faculty and students. We promote recruitment projects. Let's see, what's the other one we do? Outreach. Just if somebody has a project that just involves community outreach, like workshops, et cetera, that can mm-hmm. happen in that venue. And so our focus are those things, having our then faculty and students participate in the community more visibly through mm-hmm. that more public setting.
That's awesome. So when students get their work featured in either the satellite gallery or anywhere else, Luca, or one of the shows, what do you think that has done for the students as artists?
Well, every exhibition a student has, even a good local show is a resume builder. It shows that they have the wherewithal to organize an exhibition, create a body of work, present it, and then receive feedback, both from peers and people who are outside of the realm of making. And so I think it's a great experience for them, for one thing. It's a resume builder, secondly. And once you have, I mean, Luca provides a lot of solo opportunities, which is really great. And once you've had one little solo opportunity, it just opens up doors in other locations further away. Mm-hmm. So that's really a good thing. In our case, you know, it's like homegrown. We're just encouraging people then to develop their skills in presenting, installing, exhibiting, etc. And so it's still on the resume, but it's effectively mama supporting the refrigerator show.
And First Friday really does give students that exposure, because there are thousands of people that pile into that art trail, given it's whatever amazing. Whatever I'm month always, it is. It's crazy.
Right. I'm always amazed at how many people cram into our tiny little space and interact with the work or interact with the artists. It's great. I mean, I don't know. Eventually, they become interested in other kinds of art. That's what I believe happens.
Can you name drop any students that have been involved in the past or recently?
So many. One of the reasons we got the space is because we needed more space for our MFA students, our third year MFAs, to have their thesis exhibitions. And so every year we have two or three of them stage their exhibitions there. Just this coming Friday, Rebecca Lascano, MFA in painting, will have her thesis show there. We have had, Zach Morris, who works over at Charles's. He had his MFA in the 5 and J gallery, but we had a different student in our satellite gallery at the same time. It's continuous. I mean, at other times of the year, we use it for other purposes. Like in March, Shannon Cannings and Carol Flukiger will use it to have a drawing connections activity for the public. So like I said, we have outreach programs, but we also have opportunities for the students to show their creative research.
That's very cool. What is your favorite, like, exhibition or favorite program that you've either collaborated on or the school has collaborated on? What has been your most favorite?
Over at the Caspin Luca campus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we've done, I'm pretty happy with a lot of the national exhibitions that we've put on in campus, but in terms of projects where we've collaborated with Luca and or CASP, the clay studio that Luca has there, you know, we have worked with Vaughn, who has then worked with the clay studio people, to host, bring in ceramic artists to do community workshops. And then we would stage an exhibition in our satellite gallery of those works. We have done that in the past a couple of times. And I think that's a really, really good project. I'm a fan of ceramics anyway. And so it's always a good project for us to have. One year we collaborated with Luca, and I'm hoping we can do so again soon. We collaborated with Luca to stage a full faculty exhibition in the Luca spaces. And that was pretty spectacular. That was about a year before COVID that we did that. So we're looking forward to doing something like that again soon.
How has COVID, I don't know if it's hindered the process that First Friday goes through, how has COVID impacted the trail overall?
Well, you would probably get better information from Lindsay Maestri over at Luca, since they watch the numbers, and or Chad Plunkett over at CASP. I know that, I mean, they couldn't hold public gatherings really the entire year, COVID year. And then after they were loosening activity, there was still a lot of caveats because the city had a lot of rules in place. And so it took a long time. It hurt traffic. It hurt numbers. It hurt community engagement. But COVID did that across the board. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're making a very strong comeback, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I want to say it was the August 1st Friday Art Trail. And it was super nice to get back into something that was familiar like that after have been online for the year and not going out to public places. Obviously, I wore my mask and I'd been vaccinated, and there was live music and I went with my friends and there was food trucks, and it was nice to be in that familiar setting, sharing that sort of camaraderie about art.
Right. Long before we had our art trail going on, I visit Portland, Oregon pretty regularly.
Really?
Yeah. So easily a decade before we had an art trail, I had been going to Portland, and they had a first Thursday kind of art walk. And all the galleries were jam-packed pretty close together. So there were thousands of people walking between galleries. And I said, wow, could something like that ever happen in Lubbock? And, you know, I think we have the most vibrant art trail these days all across the state. I don't know of any, I mean, Abilene, I think still has their art walk, but across the board, we've just got so much going on with all those venues that participate. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big. I think people get floored. I know that every time we have guests visiting, artists or curators or speakers, and we happen to have an event going on with coincides with the first Friday, they're just blown away. Like, what? All of this?
In Lubbock?
Going on? In Lubbock, of all places. Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. We're very lucky. We're very lucky.
That rhythm.